Welcome to this episode of Your Financial Planner Now What. I'm your host, Hannah Moore, CFP and owner of Guiding Wealth Management. On today's episode, we will be responding to an email that I received a couple weeks ago from a listener named Kristen. When I read Kristen's email, I knew that I needed to bring in my friend Dave Grant. Many of you may have heard Dave Grant through his writing for various publications, most notably the Financial Planning Magazine. He runs Finance for Teachers, as well as the Finance for Teachers Network, a network of financial advisors who focus on the teacher niche. He recently came out with a great article in the Financial Planning Magazine that I believe everyone should read, especially if you're thinking of becoming a business owner. The article is called The Dark Side of Becoming an RIA Owner, where he gives a very honest, behind-the-scenes look at what it's been like for him as he started his firm, and how depression has played a role in the process. It's a great read. So we'll jump right in reading Kristen's email and our thoughts on how to tackle this problem. Dave is with Finance for Teachers out of Illinois, and thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So first of all, let me just read this letter first, and I'd love to get your insight, and we can kind of talk about it a little bit. So this is from, the subject line is Feeling Stuck. So it starts out, Hi, Hannah. I've recently come across your podcast and feel very inspired by everything you have accomplished in the industry. I guess I'm writing you to find out, how did you do it? How did you get started? Where did your first clients come from, along with your confidence to know that you were doing the right things for each person that you met? I'm 31 and feel like I have been lost in the industry for about 5 years now. I guess I need to tell you my story. My mom used to have her CFP designation and got that back in the 80s and works from an office in our home. I remember being very young and loving that she was always home with us as we grew up and wanted that for my family, and that was the first thought that I had in the direction of wanting to be in this industry. When it came time to go off to school, I felt like I had no idea what I really wanted to do with my life and took business marketing. I soon found that I knew I wanted to be close to my family and the small town that I grew up in, and if I was going to be in marketing, it was going to be better if I lived in a larger city, which wasn't who I am. I decided to go back to school and take the financial planning program at another college. I left college in 2008 and started in the working world. First, I worked for a credit union as a teller part-time and eventually full-time in 2010. I always felt like this wasn't really what I wanted to do. I should also mention that I felt like I was very shy and unsure of myself this entire time. When I got back, I started working for Edward Jones. This was very challenging for me, but I did it and went on to start contacting those warm leads for meetings. However, I soon felt like I was not really sure what I would tell these people in the whole picture and just didn't seem clear, which really didn't seem clear to me. Eventually, I knew I was not ready to give up the industry and felt like I had to give things another chance. So I decided to work for an independent advisor here in town who I have a great deal of respect for and have learned a lot from. He is a CFP and is a CLU as well. However, this past September, he decided he was going to slow down, sold off half his book, and laid me off in the process due to not much work being available. I would say this has been a good thing as it has forced me to think about my next steps. I soon found myself working for a bank, which I'm not sure is really the right place for me, as I don't know that a bank is as holistic as I would like it to be with the clients. I do know that I love people, and I absolutely love sitting down and getting to hear their story. I'd love to hear your thoughts, Kristen. So Dave, what are your thoughts for Kristen after hearing that letter?
In my mind goes in a number of different places. And as you're hearing Kristen's story, she's experienced a lot of different things in our industry, which is great, and it's also eye-opening at the same time when you're there. You understand how different parts of the industry work, whether they're holistic or if they're transaction-based. And I think for Kristen, it's a journey of being self-aware. She understands what she likes, what she doesn't. And I think that's probably the first step in understanding where her career is going to take her next.
Right. Knowing who you are and what fits who you are, I think is really important. One of the first comments that she had made, talking about how, she felt very inspired by everything that I've accomplished, and it's like, how did you do it? And I think I hear this a lot. I think it's really completely unfair to start comparing yourself to me or comparing yourself to anybody you see, in the Financial Planning Magazine or anywhere else. Everybody has such a unique story for how they got there, and it's not an apples to apples comparison. I look at myself and I can recognize that I had a completely unfair advantage that I would not want anybody to compare themselves with me if they just started. You know, all of my clients I have bought or been referrals. You know, so when I hear somebody like Kristen talking about how she went, you know, to Edward Jones and moved leads from cold to warm, it's like, I've never done that. And so it's, you know, we have two very different situations and skill sets. So first of all, Kristen, don't compare yourself to me. Be really, like, give yourself credit for what you've done, and like, know that, like, you really have accomplished something just being able to do that.
And I think especially in our day and age where it's the Insta lifestyle, you know, you see everybody's good parts. You don't see the struggle that people have gone through, whether it's, you know, working through business successions or whether it's getting clients and moving them from cold to warm. That's a lot of struggle, and then people highlight the success that they've had. So you never understand a person's story.
We like to see it like, you know, the nice box with like a little bow on, you know, everything's finished and packaged and perfect. And I think that work in progress, we don't see that. Mm-hmm. So it's really easy when you start comparing yourself and like the actual struggle of doing a career in this industry or profession compared to somebody who, you know, has a good story with a good ending, you know, that you don't have yet. I don't think that's fair. One other thing that I was impressed by, it sounds like she knows like the type of lifestyle that she wants to live. And I think that's really important. Like you're saying, like the knowing yourself. And I would really encourage her to focus on that and really see like, what are you willing to sacrifice? You know, she talked about her mom being able, you know, seeing her mom in this industry. And it's like, you know, I mean, I want young people to stay in this industry, but it's also what's important, you know, is really start questioning, like, is this industry the right place for me, you know, with these values? I do a values exercise with clients, and I had a friend who, she got wrapped up in the whole self-employment. You know, in order to have, you know, this fulfillment in life, you have to be self-employed and have to have these flexibilities. And she went through this values exercise, and she listed out these six values, and she had it, and she put it in, on her refrigerator. So she saw it every single day. And after about a month of that, we were talking, and she's like, you know, I've realized that I can live these values actually better being employed by somebody than being self-employed. And so it was kind of this aha moment. So I would really say, like, know what those values are, be really grounded in them, and then let that guide you, and it might turn out to be something completely different than what you thought.
Yeah. I mean, I think that definite internal awareness of what you're looking at is going to be determined by your external as well. You know, if you really want to be that holistic planner, but there's nothing around in your local area, you're going to have to make a hard decision. You know, is this something that you try and kick off on your own? Are you going to move for a short period of time to build a book and bring it back to the place you really want to be? It's definitely not an all or nothing thing, but you may have to go through a short period of pain before you actually realize what you want as your ending goal.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree. And it's like, what are you willing to sacrifice? I think becomes a really big question. Because, you know, there's so many people who, I mean, when you start back to zero, it's years of income that you lose. And is it worth it?
Yeah. I wouldn't discount the virtual game at this point. You know, the industry is changing in that people can be virtual assistants, virtual paraplanners, or virtual advisors if they want to be. You know, always keep that in the back of the mind. If, you know, Kristen's in a small town, can she do things virtually? You know, is there a market for that where she's at, and is she comfortable with that? You know, if she definitely wants the face-to-face, probably not. But if she's open to that virtual world, then maybe she doesn't need to move, she just needs a different business model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's where I think, you know, finding, when I started, I scoured the internet and I found every resource that I could find and every person that I could find. And I think that's really important to just getting a better understanding of what is this financial planning profession and like what are the different places. And when I started, I mean, I started in 2009 and it's grown so much, you know, it's so different in 7 years than when I even started.
Yeah, agreed.
So knowing what those options are and knowing where to go to find those. So the last, one of the other things that I noticed, and she talks about it in her letter, is about a lack of confidence. Of like, I don't know what to do with these clients once I get them, you know. However, I felt soon like I was not really sure what to tell these people and that the whole picture just didn't seem clear to me. And so I think that's a big a big struggle mm-hmm. with people. So how did you find your confidence?
It's something I've struggled with too. It's a case of, you know, being a younger advisor, are you really qualified to give these 50 and 60 year olds advice on their whole career and what they're looking at in retirement? And even if you're looking at younger clients, are you qualified to give them advice that could take them in a different life path? And that only gets solved by time. You know, once you go through that situation once and you're quaking in your boots and you actually realize, okay, my advice was pretty sound there, and then you do it again and you do it again, you actually become more confident in the advice you can give. And even if you're thrown a curveball in a meeting, you just adapt and you're comfortable with it. So it's definitely not a quick fix. It's definitely one client at a time. But it's not easy.
Yeah, I agree. When I actually bought the practice, we had like no money, and I went out and bought the Fox Financial Planning Network, like their program, because they take, you know, what was an established, successful financial planning firm and give you all the processes and scripts and everything that you need. And I think that was one of the ways that I really gained a lot of confidence, because it literally just had, it has scripts for everything. And so, I mean, I still go back to it, you know, and I still go back to that process, and I still, like, that was able to give me confidence, because I was like, I know that if I do everything on here, plus some extra stuff that I just would naturally do, it's like, I know that my clients are going to be getting a comprehensive service. So that's one thing, is find the resources that are available to you. The Patrick Daugherty and Trudy Turner did this Your Financial Planner Now What series, in which we're continuing here. And I think that was probably another one that just skyrocketed my confidence, because as I heard people continue to talk about financial planning and how they did it with clients, it's like you hear it and it just kind of gets integrated into who you are, and then it becomes a whole nother, it just takes you to a whole nother level.
Yeah, and I think you're going to find pieces of the process that you don't like or don't fit with who you are, and it's okay to discard those. You know, if you're taking clients through a 2-meeting discovery process and you realize I could get this done in 1 meeting. Well, change the process to be 1 meeting. And, you know, if you look at other financial planners, no one does this job the same way. And I think that's the great thing about this industry and the crazy thing about it as well, because we're all trying to get to the same solution with clients, but we all do it completely different ways. Mm-hmm. So I think not trying to fit yourself into a box and try and follow a set process, find your own process.
Yeah, you know, even that Fox Financial Planning Network stuff, it's, you know, they have their whole laid out, but it looks so different for me now, because it's exactly what you're saying. And the more I find out about myself and how I operate and how I think, I mean, the client is going to appreciate that. You know, it's all an extension of who I am, mm-hmm. rather than anything more than that.
And your clients may not like it.
Yeah.
You know, that's a reality. You know, you are dealing with people's personal lives here, and they may not appreciate your process. They're not rejecting you. They're just rejecting the flow that you're going through. And that's perfectly okay if they say, you know, I'd rather do this in a different way. The way to build a practice long-term that's fulfilling is to find people that you're on the same page with and love going through that process with you in your style. You're not going to find that in a bank, because you have to follow the bank's process. But when you can do it by yourself or as a part of a team that appreciates your process, then you get a very fulfilling career and clients who stick with you for life.
One of the other thoughts, just kind of reading through this email, was she talked about how she had worked for another advisor who was a CFP, and then he decided that he was going to, you know, he sold half his book. She got laid off in that process. One question that I had was, did he know that she wanted her own practice at that point? Like, was that something that was on the table? I think, especially when I got started, it was really hard for me to say what I wanted. And I mean, with a succession plan, that was one thing, because they brought it to me. Like, they said, like, we want you to buy this practice. And I was like, okay, like, why not? You know, so I think that's one thing. So my example was, I had gone through like grief training just for some personal things that happened in my life. And just hearing all the stories of like widowed women, like, that was a very near and dear, it still is, like, place in my heart of like I hate how the industry treats those people, like these women. And like, I can go off on a whole tangent on that. But when I decided that was something that I wanted to focus on, like, I didn't tell anybody, like, not even my boyfriend or husband at the time. Like, I had like a whole, like I taped pages into my closet and I would write down ideas on it. So I'd see it all the time, but I wouldn't show anybody or wouldn't tell anybody. And like the actual thought of telling somebody that this is what I wanted to do, it was one of the most painful like struggles that I had. And I mean, Charlie, my husband now, at that time, he was like, you won't even show this to me. Like, I barely even know about this, like, thing that you want to do. And it was just so, like, I don't know, it was just so, I felt like I had to protect it. And what's ironic, you know, it's like, what was the worst case that would happen? It's like, well, I would tell everybody, nobody would come sign up with me, or like, no, like, this wouldn't work out, and like, and I would look like a complete fool. And the ironic part is, like, that's exactly what's happened. You know, it's like, I still have it on my website. You know, when I made the transition from the broker dealer to the RIA, I had several widowed women, and it was very ironic and like weird and like shocking that all of those women didn't come with me. And so right now in my practice, this thing that I've been like saying that this is what I want to do for like the last 4 or 5 years of my life, I don't have a single widowed woman like in my practice. And so it's like, I completely failed, but that's okay. And like, I don't know. I just think there's so much, it was more important for me to be able to be comfortable to say like, this is what I want. And if I don't get it, that's fine. So even going down that track, like, I've learned so much. I've gone through special training programs that, even though my clients aren't widowed women, it's helped me a lot with them. And so I would encourage Kristen, you know, if you want to own your own practice, start telling people. And like, it is crazy scary, I know, and you may not actually get that. But that's not the point. The point is to put yourself out there and just see what happens, and then being okay with that result. Because, you know, I had to accept the fact that even though this is something near and dear to my heart, and maybe someday this is what I do, like, right now this isn't what I'm doing. And like, that's okay.
Yeah. Well, I think just from some of the tones in Kristen's email, I mean, there's a crisis of confidence here. And I think, you know, that needs to be built back up again before, you know, I would personally suggest go and start building your own book. You know, that is a hairy journey all by itself. And like you said, it's people don't like to talk about it, but there could be a high failure rate that we don't even know about because it's not written about in the media. No one likes to share their failures. But I think for Kristen, it's a case of, okay, get back to working with clients again in the way you want to. And that could be in a support advisor role, wherever that's going to take you, location-wise. But get that confidence back and get that skill level back again and get back to the point where you feel comfortable with the fact, you know, I could start prospecting and get my own book at this point, if that's where she wants to take it. But also know that if it fails, that's all right. And, you know, the majority of entrepreneurs have failed a lot more times than they've succeeded, because why would they succeed 99 times? All they need is that one time. So they have that one success, but they may likely have 99 failures behind them. And you got to be comfortable with that.
Yeah, and it's so counter to, I think, everything you learn in life. Like, you want to be that success, but
And you want it to happen first time, and it never will, ever. When you look at the inventors, and it's, you know, I tried this thing 2,000 times, and the 2001, it worked. That's pretty much how the entrepreneur life goes.
And just, yeah, and like you're saying, and like, know like these success stories that you hear about in the news or you read about, like, they're not telling the behind the scenes. Like, I had no idea the ups and downs that came with entrepreneurship and owning your own firm. Like, it's crazy. It's a roller coaster.
It is.
One other thing with building your confidence is find people to support you. So I have friends that are not even tied to financial planning, and when I am just down, like, I just know that I need to go talk to them. And not even that they're just my cheerleaders. They're the people who, you know, I always feel like I leave a breakfast with them and I just feel so my entire outlook on life is different. So I would really encourage you to find people like that, and really, you know, incorporate them into your life. Find people within the profession. Find somebody who you want to be like, and ask them if they can mentor you. I mean, that's one of the best things that I've done. It's, you know, I really was like, what's the lifestyle that I want to live? And so when I knew what that lifestyle was, I was able to find somebody who mirrored that, and that's who I want to be. Surround yourself by people you want to be like.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
So is there anything else that you want to add, or?
I mean, Kristen has been through a lot already in her early career, you know, just testing out different sides of the industry. And I think, you know, going back to something I said initially, find the part that you really like and stick with it. Because when our industry is very adaptable with how it's going to be, and even in the past couple of years it's changed a lot, it could change in the next couple of years. But find that thing you enjoy, hold on to it tight, and keep going for it.
Yeah, and I would just, again, encourage you, Kristen, to give yourself credit. I mean, you sent me an email. You've moved leads from cold to warm. Like, you kind of have done the hardest part for most RAs is finding people. And if you can do that, like, you really can build a structure around. But also take the pressure off. I think that's always helped me.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us, Dave.
No, you're very welcome. Cool.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of You're a Financial Planner, Now What? Thank you, Kristen, for your email, and I hope that we were able to offer some hope and perspective on your situation. And thank you, Dave, for your perspective on this topic as well. So if you have any questions that you would like answered, we would love to hear from you. You can reach me at hannah@guidingwealth.com or find me on Twitter @guidingwealth. Also, if you haven't already signed up for our email list, you can do so at financialplannerpodcast.com. We'll see y'all next time.